A lot of reaction coming in on the Vancouver Canucks, Randeep, and Stan Riccio and Randeep Jandasat has the day off today. Luke with this text: surely the only reason Green hasn't been signed yet is because they're planning to hire a new GM, and we'll know that GM will want his own coach in place. That's from Luke. I think we all seem to get the idea that Canucks don't know exactly what their way forward is yet, and that's why everybody, including Travis Green, is in this state of limbo.
Everybody's waiting to see what happens at the end of the season, and really, it's weird just to see Travis Green in-game and the reactions and all that, because this is a guy that's got a couple of games left with the Vancouver Canucks, and what happens after that? Nobody knows, Reach. He's a guy that's well-respected in the city, but tick-tock, tick-tock. The clock is ticking.
It is the People's Show. It is Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda.
And we're happy to be joined now by somebody who's conquered wrestling at the Commonwealth Games, won a gold medal there, Canadian Olympian, and this past weekend, heavyweight champion with one fighting championship, won in Singapore, Richmond, BC's own Arjun Pudler. What's going on, Arjun?
My brother, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. We're doing well. How are you doing the last 3 days? So, Brandon Vera, you go into that fight, the heavyweight title fight. You've been waiting for this your entire life, and just mentally, you know, we saw what happened. You have the stoppage there in the second round, dominated that fight. Take me into that moment where when you realized it was over and you'd won.
It was a weird feeling. I can't say I was, you know, crazy shocked or surprised or anything like that, because we planned for that to happen and the fight went according to plan. But I remember, as I was pounding on him and he stopped moving and the ref telling him, you got to move or he's going to stop the fight. For the last few shots, I was like, oh my God, this is about to happen. and the ref jumped in and I'm like, it's happened. And coaches jump in and all that. So it was cool. And the confetti, you know, as over the next several minutes, confetti's hitting me and coming down. It really got real when they put the belt on me. That was something special, something I had visualized and felt for a long, long time, and just a dream come true.
So try to put it into context for us, what this means to you, Arjun.
It's tough to put into words. The people that have been there, you know, since the beginning, you know, my family's been there through ups and downs, and you know, they know, but even then, I've been on the road so much, just dealing with, you know, a lot of things. It's tough to put into words. It's a lifetime of work. It's a lifetime of a lot of people putting things into me and then me going out there, putting in the work. And, we've had so many twists and turns in this road, even for this fight. I didn't know I was going to fight until 2 hours before the fight. It was canceled. Obviously pandemic before this, I had injuries going into it. It's been one thing after the other, but one thing I held firm, I truly believed I had the goods to make this happen, and that was my destiny. And I like to say, you know, when something's meant to be, nothing or nobody can stand in the way, and I truly felt that, and it proved true.
And what a journey it's been as well. You know, going back, I remember going to Kabaddi tournaments when I was maybe 8 or 9 years old and seeing you there wrestle at local tournaments in like Abbotsford and Vancouver, and of course, you're from Richmond. But even beyond that, right, go to the Commonwealth Games, conquer that. You're Olympian, you rep the community so proudly, and now at this level, you win a title, an international title, the first ever South Asian, first ever Punjabi individual to do that. What does that mean to you?
It means a great deal. You know, first and foremost, it was my dream to be a world champion. So for myself, that's huge. That's there forever. No one, that doesn't matter what happens in the rest of my life, that can never be taken away from me. And that stays in history. So that part of history and legacy is important for me. And so I'm happy about that. And then the greater part of that, yeah, being the first is always special. That can never be taken away either. But that comes with responsibility as well. Just being a world champion, now I have a platform. Now I have more people potentially looking up to me. But for me, I'm human, I make mistakes, but I want to live the right way as best I can. I want to do good for others. I want to blow up the sport, make it easier for others. All of that. And it's all happening. It's been life-changing.
Arjun Pudler, our guest here on The People's Show, and one fighting heavyweight champion as of this weekend after beating Brandon Vera. Now, you know, like this is has got to be so much. I know on Instagram you were talking about how difficult that that your camp was. You know, the preparation for this fight, this whole year, COVID, everything like that. Just how difficult was this getting ready and prepared for this moment to take this opportunity?
It was tough. It was tough. You know, I hadn't been this away from competition for that long in my entire life, since I was a little kid. Over a year without competing is crazy to me. But there were just so many growths made in that time. I feel we truly maximized that internally and technically. I think that paid off huge. But it was tough, man. It's out of my control as well. The whole world's dealing with it, and I kept leaning on that. You know, at end of the day, I'm an athlete. This is sports. There's people losing lives out there, losing family members, loved ones. We know what's happening in India right now. And I kept leaning on that and the fact that, hey, even my competitor as an athlete, he's going through this. And I know if me and my competitor are going through the same thing, I will deal with it better. I know that through a lifetime of dealing with adversity. So, I got sat down with the coaches and said, okay, hey, we got the Puller Wrestling Club. Now we've got a cage in there. We've got bags. So we've turned it into Puller MMA even. So we expanded on that. I had my own cohorts come in, and the coaches were great. So we prepared really, really well, and it showed, I believe.
Well, you know, the road ahead, we'll talk about it a little bit, but I also want to mention, you know, given, you know, what's going on in the world right now, given what's going on in the local community, your journey has been one heck of one, you know, Richmond and all the way through, and it's great to see you become a role model as well over the years. And I know there's the wrestling history, there's the wrestling, the road that you had, but now you're opening it up to even more as well by doing this and just doing it the right way. So I want to just give you a shout out on a personal level where you've become that role model in the community, Arjun, not only local, I would say international now as well from everything that you're doing, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. We've talked about that even in private. We never had that growing up. So that means a great deal to me. That shows me that I dedicated myself the right way to be able to do that. For the next generation and others. So that's how this thing is going to grow. And I'm excited to be in that position and do as much as I can.
That's awesome. And looking forward to what's next. Speaking of that, I caught your post-match comments. You identified a couple of organizations, the WWE, AEW. I know you're a wrestling guy. So what's next? Has there been any discussion? Is there any chatter behind the scenes we should know about?
Well, let's put it this way, Randy. I carry the gorge into MMA for a reason. I've been given that for a reason. I'm wrestling through and through, be pro wrestling, amateur wrestling, MMA where I use my wrestling. It doesn't matter what kind of combat sport. And yes, AEW is on TNT, just like One Championship is. So we're on the same platform. That's exciting. Obviously, there's a WWE. And it's actually quite straightforward. I'm taking a fight with these guys. Whether it's Jake Hager in AEW, the Bellator fighter, All-American wrestler, whether it's him, whether it's Bobby Lashley, amateur wrestler, Bellator fighter, either way, those guys are supposedly tough guys in their industries, and I want to fight them, and I want to do it in a squared circle.
All right, we're going to, we maybe the people show, we do speak for the people. We got to maybe create a campaign to help you out here. Arjun Puddler in wrestling, we want to see it. Arjun, thank you very much for joining us today. I know you're really busy. You got a lot of media to do after the weekend's win. Appreciate it, man, and congratulations to you and your family.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the time, guys.
Congrats, Arjun. There he is, Arjun Puller of...
There we go.
I'm struggling with it, but I got it there. And Pride of Richmond, Indo-Canadian community, what a win this weekend. Man, that belt looks incredible. So shouts to him, and it would be awesome to see him fight maybe a Bobby Lashley even.
Yeah, next level. And what I've known him for almost, I would say, 15 to 16 years. And this guy smashes through ceilings every single level that he does. But it's an awesome thing to see, not only for the Punjabi community, but the local community, the Canadian community. He's represented Canada at the Olympics as well, an Olympian. So great things from Arjun Puddler, and he ain't done yet. I can guarantee you that much.
Pride of Richmond, BC. We thank Arjun for joining us here today on The People's Show. A lot of reaction coming into the Dunbar Lumber text line. We are asking you today this simple question. You can call in, you can answer it on the Dunbar Lumber text line. What can ownership do? What can the Vancouver Canucks as a franchise do this week to begin restoring consumer confidence? To begin restoring your confidence in the organization? The sense we have, and the sense we've talked about over the last couple of weeks around this team, Randeep, is change could be coming, and the main reason, because it's not necessarily on ice, as we played the clip from Elliot Friedman earlier, it's more the fan bases flying banners across the city saying, fire the GM. The lack or the loss of consumer confidence may be one of the biggest reasons that this organization is considering change right now. Because everything I can gather around it is, you know, when they gave the vote of confidence, it wasn't one of those like, we're given the vote of confidence to buy time. It was, this is kind of what we want to do here for the next little while because we don't have any interest in paying people that aren't working for our franchise right now. It costs money to replace people that are working for your franchise. And as we know, the Canucks have been working on a stricter budget than they had been in years past because of the COVID-19 pandemic, which is understandable, but it's also, you know, led to a lot of the issues that we're seeing popping up right now, Randy.
Yeah, that statement did feel like it said indirectly, we don't want to break the piggy bank yet. And there was a bit of a feeling to that. And Rafe Nelson comes in with this text, answering the question of what do you want to see? Guys, what improved my confidence in the organization is they followed through on Aquilini's message from earlier this season. They said Jim was their guy. If that's true, then put your big boy pants on and let Jim get his coaching staff signed. The problem is waffling. Show some leadership and courage and conviction. So Rafe is not necessarily saying get rid of Jim Benning, but if you want to buy into this group that you currently have, well, go 100% into it. Rather than kind of, it feels like you're debating at this point. You're kind of thinking out loud, right? And that's where I think with the organization, you have to be very careful. Like if you're making a decision either way, you got to be 100% into it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of folks saying, hey, halfway through the year when Aquilini came out that statement, was saying, get rid of Jim Benning, fire Jim Benning. Well, if you make that move at that point, you better have an idea of what kind of structure you're coming with. And the same goes now, where if you're saying you're bringing back Jim Benning, there better be clarity on the road forward. This isn't a year move. This isn't a year at a time move. You got to look at it 5 years at a time. Mm-hmm. What is your plan moving forward with the core that you have? So Rafe and Nelson, I get it, but it feels though in the last month or so, the situation has changed.
Yeah. There's a lot of different elements here, though, Randy, because you could even make the argument that Jim Benning didn't have the resources to do the job to the best of his ability this year, right? And, you know, his management team was cut. There's a lot of different things going on within this franchise at the same time. And, you know, kind of going into this year and almost with a mentality of let's let the chips fall where they may has been a disaster.
Yep.
It's not like that's not an overstatement. It's maybe even an understatement. It's been a disaster for the Vancouver Canucks from start to finish, from the beginning of free agency to where we are now. So this isn't just about Jim Benning. You know, it's about, you know, where is this franchise planning to go? And what are the ambitions? What are the resources that are going to be made available? Because this is something that is highlighted even more right now. But, you know, franchises that are all in, they are, COVID has kind of given us a have and have nots sort of feel.
Yep.
And those that are continuing to keep things as best as they can are the ones having success right now. And others are having terrible seasons because it's not a stretch to say the Vancouver Canucks have a little bit of Buffalo Sabres West on the way things that have gone this season.
I mentioned this a few months ago and we had this discussion of, hey, it doesn't take much for an organization to turn into the Buffalo Sabres. The Sabres have a very good player in Jack Eichel. They've got an up-and-coming defenseman in Rasmus Dahlin. They've got some pretty good secondary pieces as well. But their culture is off. Their ownership, even though they got deep pockets, is off. There's something amiss there.
Mm-hmm.
And fast forward a couple of months, and Vancouver's got elements of that as well, where they've got really good skilled young players, but from an organizational structure perspective, they're not there. You don't see it. So the question here is less of year to year. The bigger question for me, Reach, is how do the Canucks become a have? How do they have organizational stability long term? It's one thing to say you have clout within the league and you're in a position to be a real, you know, decision maker or a real it team in the NHL. When you're good, everybody can be that. Like the Carolina Hurricanes right now, I'm sure their ownership feels great about them. But we know tomorrow, if their team is, you know, out of it, they're not going to be very relevant. That's what it is. Ottawa's the same. You've got teams like Buffalo as well. Vancouver is in that position where they, are they an it team? Are they going to invest in their stability? And that's what this is about. I know there's been a lot of chat about Jeff Courtnell. I know there's been a lot of chat of the president of hockey ops. But to me, this is more about how do you build out this organization? President of hockey ops can play a huge role in that. But how do you build out the other roles within the organization at the same time? Long-term, 5 years down the road, how does this organization look differently? On the ice? For sure, you want a winning team. But do you build it out in a position where all of a sudden you're an it team? You have, you know, you're throwing your weight around a little bit and you invest in that. And that's what this is about. So as much as people want to say, hey, get rid of Jim Benning or keep him or whatever, we're getting a lot of those texts on the text line. This goes above Jim Benning to say, all right, where does the spending start? When does the spending start? And do you build out the organization beyond a president or a GM? You need to have, you know, a director of amateur scouting. You have to have a director of player personnel and all of these positions that the organization has kind of been lacking the last couple of years.
This text unsigned, the only way my faith in the Canucks will be restored is if Francesco Aquilini can somehow get the picture of Riccio and Chara.
Ooh.
Not going to happen.
If anybody can get it, it's probably Francesco Aquilini. I'm telling you.
It's not going to happen. Be sharp. On the Dunbar Lumber text line, consumer confidence would be bringing in new management whose message is they want to stockpile picks and prospects and have the track record of doing so. Honestly, I think for me, the ideal situation would be the Canucks. Because just imagine if Jim Benning had to do an end of season availability on Thursday or Friday.
Ooh, man.
I mean, are we really going to have that happen here in the city? Are we going to have Jim Benning on the show on Thursday? I mean, I hope so, but
I'd love to ask him a couple of questions, but
I got questions, man. I think we all got questions.
Yeah, I think our text line is probably going to fill up with a bunch of them right now, but organizationally, Reach, I understand what you're saying. How does that happen after this season?
Yeah.
Forget the other six for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But this season, this market will explode.
You know, we want to have more of the information, as we were so promptly told earlier.
I wonder if Jim's going to ask us. If he does that, do you have all the information? I don't know if I do.
Kidding aside, though, like, could you imagine that whole situation happening with the looming idea of full-on change is still to come for this franchise? I don't know if you could do that. But if you have an idea that maybe there's a search for a president of hockey ops or somebody that is going to conduct a search for the new GM or what? Like, I don't know if you can go into the end of the season and sell to people that Jim Benning is returning. I don't know if that is an option. It doesn't feel like it's an option to me. Not if you are trying to restore consumer confidence in this franchise. Let's go to the phone boards. It is Rob in Richmond. Rob, how can the Canucks restore confidence in the franchise for you?
Thanks for the taking the call.
Thanks for making it.
Pretty easy. I mean, like, seriously, we need to relax here and just, Benny's what? He's on contract for 2 years, right? So you keep him in place. As far as the coach goes, see if the coach will take another year, if he really wants to be here. Take a year for 1.5, see what that does. He'd probably say no to that. But realistically, the situation here is that management is messed up and the team is broken.
So, Rob, you're saying bringing back Jim Benning and Travis Green, that restores confidence for you?
No. Well, what it does is the ownership needs to find out what the hell they're doing. And talking to Jeff Courtnell or getting information from Jeff Courtnell is absolutely insane. He hasn't been in hockey. I mean, what's going on here? I mean, ownership needs to keep their mitts out of whatever they've been doing, but they have to get an idea of what kind of a team they want to play. I mean, Ray Ferraro has constantly said this. What do we have? What type of team do we have?
Thanks for the call, Rob. I hear your point, because I said this midseason. If you are going, if you're thinking about change, you've got to go in on that, okay? And it seemed like the Canucks were kind of thinking about it, but then ultimately decided, no, we're sticking with status quo for now. And they've allowed the situation to get to a boiling point here. And now they should have done some due diligence and had some candidates in mind for who could take control of this ship. But we're heading into the end of the season, and it doesn't seem like anybody knows what the best way forward is. And when you don't know, that means your customers are going to have severe consumer confidence problems.
And at that time, we disagreed, because you were saying, hey, if you make that move, you make it now. I was like, hey, if you don't have somebody in mind, you sit it out. You make the right decision rather than just a random decision. But here's the problem with that. You got to make that time useful. If you decide to hang on to that individual, the GM in that case, and you don't want to make that move, you got to make sure that you use that time to look at the other candidates. And that's what we'll find out, I guess, at the end of the week or maybe next week, of how much of those conversations actually happen. And that's something to watch here.
We got more. The people show, we want to hear from the people. Dan and Poco, you got 30 seconds. Go off.
I'll make them good. Listen, I was in the investment industry for 30 years. Here's one thing. Markets hate uncertainty. That's point number one. Point number two, to hire a guy like Jim Benning, who stumbles and bumbles with his speech, it's not his problem, but that's what you get with a grade 10 education. And to put him out as a public figure, it just
all right, Dan,
work.
That's a little bit too much. I can't let that go on here. Look, I understand if you have some issues with the job Jim Benning has done here. There's certainly reasons for criticism there, but we can keep it clean and not take personal shots and insults. All right, that's where I'm going to draw the line.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's there's a lot of criticism to be, you know, take shots at the actual resume. Let's not get into the other things, right?
Exactly.
We all got our moments where we're not so polished. The reality is what it is. We understand that.
Paul and Poco, be better. You got 30 seconds.
Make it fast, guys. You know, I was a big fan when JB first came to Vancouver. Remember when we took him away from Boston as an assistant GM, did a hell of a job out there. So we were all happy when he got here. Then there's the Trevor Linden fiasco. Do we really know what happened there and what JB's involvement was? And then the bucket issue, and then the inconsistent drafting, and then the signing of all these bottom-end players that are playing on our fourth line because we don't have enough talent in our farm system to fill out those roles that most other teams get their farm team to take care of. These are all unanswered questions. And the last point I want to make is the treatment of Troy Stetcher. Troy Stetcher worked his tail off last season in the bubble, played 19 minutes a game, worked, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, and he was treated like garbage in the off season and never got a contract. And if he didn't get something from Detroit, he might have never gotten a contract at all.
Thanks for the call, Paul. Yeah, I hear you on that. And look, I mean, the poor communication with a lot of the free agents last offseason was definitely a problem and probably a signal of what was to come for the rest of the offseason. We got to hit the break. So Dan in Maple Ridge, I see you on the phone line. If you want to call in, 604-280-0650, 1-888-275-0650. Look, it's a week of change. The week ahead is huge for the Vancouver Canucks and the future of this franchise. We know it. You know it. We're going to talk it out. What restores consumer confidence for you in the Vancouver Canucks? What move can they make that begins to restore your confidence in the franchise? Plus, we've got Pass the Puck. So stay by the phone line for your chance to win a $100 gift card to Zephyr Epic. And Not Saying, Just Saying is coming up next. It's a busy show here on Sportsnet 650. Sean in Surrey has won our $100 gift card from Zephyr Epic with Pass the Puck. All Pass the Puck winners will go into a random draw for the chance to win one grand prize of a virtual roundtable with former Canuck players hosted by Sportsnet 650 personalities. Sportsnet 650's Pass the Puck in partnership with Canstar Fire and Flood. Your life restored fast. That's... is a couple more games left in the season, so a couple more chances for you to win with Pass the Puck. Be listening to Sportsnet 650 for your chance to win. Happening now on Sportsnet, Game 2, Randeep, Caps, and Bruins. How you feeling about your pick of the Capitals? Feeling pretty good?
Feeling pretty good.
I mean, they took Game 1.
Yeah, so. it's a tough one, though, because that series is going to be...
a war?
It is. It maybe not to the level of Tampa and Florida,
mm-hmm.
because that was just next level physicality. But when you lose your starting goaltender, when there's questions about your original goaltender in Samsonov, Craig Anderson, I'm not going to lie, I didn't even like him as a starter back in Ottawa when he was in prime Craig Anderson. So it's not the most confidence-inducing move, but you do have a team that is kind of ready to go here. And shouts to Nick Dowd, folks. Shouts to Nick Dowd. When we talk about the Fernando Pisani levels of heroes, nobody ever would have selected Nick Dowd. The guy that reached, if I remember correctly, back in the day and reached deep,
mm-hmm.
you argued in the Randicho Awards that he was, 1 year, he was the worst player in the NHL.
He was not very good.
Was that environment or was that the player?
I guess it was environment. I mean, look, he's been a solid player. He's replaced Jay Beagle with flying colors in Washington. But, yeah, I mean, he's still a fourth-line center. You know, it's not like
everybody's got a role. He's not going to shoot up on
it's not like he's developed into a, you know, second line. Like, you know, it's not like he's Jared McCann, who's like a legitimate, you know, man, I wish that guy was still a Vancouver
Canuck. You had to bring him up, too, didn't you? I thought I was going far enough with Nick Dowd. You had to bring up Jared McCann. That one hurts in Vancouver. But I'm confident with the Capitals, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be a war. Tampa and Florida is going to be tough, but the Bruins and the Capitals, it's going 6 or 7 for sure.
We've had a ton of callers today, and we appreciate it. Not Saying, Just Saying is coming up. The Vancouver Canucks, as the talk has been, the fan base's lack of confidence in the direction of the franchise is forcing them to think about change within their front office and the way forward for the franchise. What can the Canucks do this week that begins to restore your confidence in them? Let's go to Dan in Maple Ridge, the people hearing from the people here on the People's Show. What's going on, Dan?
Hey, guys. Benning is, everybody's beating a dead horse there with Benning. I think he should have been gone a long time ago. Started with Lucic and Erickson back in the day, and last year with Toffoli, to me that was unforgivable. That he was on pace for what, like 40 goals this year?
Yeah.
Good in the room, good defensively, high hockey IQ. That guy's making like $8 million. And he wanted to sign here for 4. I mean, come on, you're never going to find a guy like that.
Toffoli's making 4.25 in Montreal.
But yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, that's an absolute steal. And, you know, we're signing guys for 3/4 of that are, you could let them walk and nobody really cares. But it's becoming more and more clear. Like, the ineptitude there is just beyond words. But
what's the one thing they can they do anything this week to get you back?
It's ownership. Ownership is becoming clearly the problem. It almost seems like they got to sell the team. They're all about bums in seats and being mediocrity, having enough shiny things to keep fans interested enough to turn a profit. It's not about actually winning anymore. It was back in the Gillis days. It seems like something like 5 years ago, whatever, as long as Benning's been here, it's just been about money. Last off season, they had the opportunity to, if they sacrificed this year's draft, they could have unloaded all his dead money and built a contender. The young core was obviously ready to win now. And instead, they went the complete opposite direction. And you could see how pissed the team was at the start of this year. They played like crap. And all these the fans.
Thanks for the call, Dan. No, I hear you. And appreciate you making the call here on The People Show. Love hearing from you, The People, here on The People Show.
I'm hearing a lot of that. And listen, there are some, you know, we talked about ownership and what they can do and how they can potentially even bring in somebody that can be a bit of a second sober, you know, thought yeah. type of element to the organization. When it comes to money, though, the Canucks have been a cap team. They are a cap team. They've been spending money. The Aquilinis have been spending money. And yes. I know last year it sucks because Toffoli walks away and you're saying, man, that was the answer on the wing. He was the guy that was the answer in the top six. But, and I still criticize that move. So I just want to let that be known. But to say that they're not spending money, that's not correct, right? They are still spending to the cap. Unfortunately, the Canucks have spent poorly in the past, and they have to right those wrongs before they can move forward. That was the mandate from ownership. And it's not my money. It's easy for me to say, hey, take a buyout here, make sure that money disappears over here and you free up cap space. But that ain't my money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing is, though, how do you make that move in a pandemic year is the big question. And some ownership groups, not only Vancouver, but others, were not willing to do that. Still a cap team. They're spending a lot of money this year. So I get it, and I get like the mixed messages.
But it's the other spending, Randeep. It's the other spending.
It's the behind-the-scenes
stuff. You
know,
you went from sleep doctors with sure. Gillis and giving every resource possible that might put this team over the top, and you came up one win short. One win short.
Yep.
Of absolute glory and having your name minted into the history of Vancouver lore. You can't run an NHL team and change based on, like, you have to run it the same way all the time. You know, you can't have it give every resource at one point and then cut back at another point. And then maybe you go back in because you feel like you're ready to win again. Like, you know, these are building blocks. You know, you can't change that sort of ambition the way you change underwear every day. You know, like you can't do that. You have to be consistent so that you build those principles and you show to the league, you show to potential acquisitions, potential players, that you are going to give those players every opportunity to win and to be the best players they can be within your organization. And right now, Canucks aren't doing that.
Yeah, you potentially have an out in saying, okay, the cap problem's on the ice. Off the ice, that's the difference between stability and being unstable as an organization. If you invest in behind the scenes and in those people behind the scenes and that innovation, yeah, that's what makes the have organizations versus the have nots. We criticize Ottawa scouting staff because they barely have one. Mm-hmm. We criticize Buffalo and what they've had to do. Well, yeah, they're not investing in those aspects of that. And that's why, in a lot of ways, they're not well respected in the hockey world. The Canucks got to be careful there because on the ice, the Aquilinis have spent the money. Unfortunately, Jim Benning has made some bad moves.
Yeah.
Off the ice, you can control that. There is no cap there. It's a billionaire's game. I get it. It ain't my money. But if you're going to be in the game, you got to spend. And if you want to be a Canadian team in a big market, you're going to have to spend because Vancouver will always be compared to Toronto and Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be compared to Winnipeg, that's fine. But guess what? Your brand and your hockey team's reputation loses because you don't want to be compared to Winnipeg, which is still a small market team.
It is The People Show. Keep your texts and tweets and calls coming. We'll continue the Canucks conversations through the day, and we'll continue them with Not Saying, Just Saying right now here on The People Show. Your chance to get in your digs. Have some fun with it. Not saying, just saying. We do it every day at 4:40 here on The People's Show. Randy?
I'm not saying Sam Bennett cost the Panthers game one. I'm just saying his stupid penalty probably cost them the series. They were in a position of control. They were confident. They were ready to go. They were celebrating in Sunrise. And then he hits Coleman for no reason like that. Dangerous hit real time. Forget the slow-mo where it looks really bad. But when you saw that hit real time, you're like, yeah, that's a suspension. No need whatsoever. and it gave that power play more confidence. They come back to win that game. I know Florida's a great story, but that penalty, that was costly, man. That's a penalty that can cost you a series because all that confidence you had,
yeah,
you undercut yourself, and you give the reigning cup champs even more confidence.
I want to know, like, for all of the... and, hey, we back on Reach Deep, we had Lonnie Cameron on the show, and, you know, he tried to sell us on the idea that the playoffs aren't called differently from the regular season. But, like, how is Sam Bennett not assessed a major penalty in that moment? Like, it's kind of ridiculous he only got a minor. The Lightning still made them pay, because, hey, that's Nikita Kucherov and the Lightning. But in what world is that not a major penalty? He took a run at a guy, hit him smack on the numbers, and got away with it by not getting the game misconduct in that moment. Now, he eventually gets a one-game suspension, but, like, how does a ref watch that and not assess a five-minute major in the moment? Like, I still can't gather it. And then you try to tell me that the game isn't called differently in the playoffs? No chance. Stop it.
They were looking at the rest of that game and saying, we didn't even call penalties on, like, basic, you know, next-level roughing. So maybe, yeah, there was an adjustment. Lonnie Cameron, shouts to Lonnie Cameron. When we had him on the show that one time, poor guy got ripped to shreds. But I love the opinion. I love the opinion.
Yes, it is the people's show. Not saying, just saying.
We got one here from the Pokey Reddick Posse. First-time texter, I believe.
All right.
I'm not saying Jeff Courtnell is not the answer. I'm just saying Nick Doubt is. If I'm not mistaken, I think he's an unrestricted free agent.
Did the Pokey Reddick Posse just start the campaign for bring Nick Doubt back?
Bring back Nick.
Is Nick Doubt the Canucks' third-line center next October?
Probably not. I'm not saying the Canucks aren't making that call. I'm just saying Nick Doubt says I'm not coming back to Vancouver.
I'm not saying Randeep needs to walk back his Vladdy is overrated take. I'm just saying he's the second best hitter in baseball right now, only behind one of the greatest of all time, Mike Trout.
This is the problem with Dan Reacher. I never said he was overrated. I said Blue Jays fans had to relax. That's all.
And Either way, you were wrong.
I didn't say he'd get to 30. And last time I checked, is he at 30? No, he's not. Talk to me when he gets to 30. This is a long season.
The 30 homers doesn't really matter. He's one of the best hitters in baseball.
This is a long season. 30 home runs. I never said he was overrated. I was questioning 30 home runs. He ain't at 30.
We're in today's world.
Yes. Jim's absolutely right. Day to day.
I can't believe it. Not saying, just saying. We've got lots of reaction coming in on the Dunbar Lumber text line. This one comes in. I'm not saying there's nothing the Canucks can do to get my confidence back, but I'm just saying they could totally destroy it by giving Tyler Graevac 6x6.
Is that 600K or is that 6 million?
Just imagine that. If there's a 6 year, $600,000 deal. Just
6 years minimum contract.
If you're looking for job security, I can understand that.
Isn't that what... that's what Nashville does with a bunch of players, right? Like Colton Sissons.
Yeah.
Arvidsson had a deal. Like, was it Cali Yarncroke?
Yeah, Cali Yarncroke got like $2 million
a year. Yeah, but we're talking $600,000.
That's what they did with Ryan Ellis, too, for a while, right? He got like the 4x2, and then he developed into one of the best right-hand shot defensemen in the league while on that contract. Now they're paying him too much, so it's a give and take.
Got this one from O'Fuzz. Not saying, just saying that Sam Bennett is Kadri from 3 years ago. Basically, you can't win with him, you can't win without him. I think you can win without him.
Torgi with a text that I'm going to turn into a not saying, just saying. I'm not saying Randeep was wrong. I'm just saying Vladdy's going to hit 40.
Let's get to 30 first. Get to 30 first. Then we'll talk.
Randeep's just like, I'm dying on this hill, okay?
Hey, last time I checked, he didn't get to 30. All I'm saying.
I can't wait till it's the last day of the season and he's at like 29 and there's a review.
Man, he's legit an AL MVP candidate. through the first, you know, month and a half of the season. So it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, it is a marathon, not a sprint.
No, it is a marathon, but you are the, like...
Last year was a sprint,
you are the Vladdy Jr. fanboy ultimate, because I remember watching the first game Vladdy ever played with you in a bar.
You gotta bring up the story
every
single time.
Back when we were allowed
to
sit in bars.
Yeah.
We're sitting at a local bar just around the corner here, and Vladdy hits a, looks like a pretty deep ball. And Riccio just jumps out of his seat. So, oh, it's gone. It's out of here. And no, it's caught by the right fielder. You're that guy. So you are not exactly the best barometer of expectations.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not saying I need to hear Riccio's Buck Martinez impression right now. I'm just saying it'd be great to hear it.
Swing and a drive. Honestly, nothing gets me more hype than a Buck Martinez no-doubter swinging a drive. It's the best.
If it ain't broke, why fix it, right?
Oh, it's so good.
We got this unsigned text. I'm not saying the Canucks are 2 years away from being 2 years away. I'm just saying the Canucks are 2 years away from being 2 years away. So what does that mean? Jim Benning said 2 years, so this texter is implying that it's 4 years then.
This texter is a big Bruno Caboclo fan, I'm led to believe. 2 years away from being 2 years away, Bruno Caboclo. I'm not excited for the. I'm not saying I'm excited for the new Mario Golf. I'm just saying Mario Golf isn't the best of the franchise.
It's not even top two for me.
No?
No. It's the OG on Super Nintendo.
So you're like Super Mario Bros. Guy?
Yeah, Super Mario Brothers on the basic, the first NES, and then Super
NES Classic.
Yep, and Mario Kart. Mario Kart is legit. Like, top two, that's it. Boom.
I don't know how you... Like, Mario Golf, Mario Tennis, kind of fun. Okay, yeah, good, cool, fun. You could waste some time on it, but... Like, Mario Kart. Even Mario Party. You could waste days, hours on end with those.
My grades went down as a result of those video games we mentioned, the top two. Like, you know when you could have a drastic impact on a letter grade? That was my high school and like childhood experience. So I'm going Mario Kart all day, every day.
This text unsigned. I'm not saying Dan does a bad Buck Martinez. I'm just saying it was more Al Pacino.
Hoo-ah! Buck meets Al Pacino. What a human that would be.
We've got a goal in the NHL playoffs. The Boston Bruins trying not to go down 2-0 to the Washington Capitals. They open the scoring with Jake DeBrusk, second in as many games for DeBrusk. And the goal horn is brought to you by TitanOnline.com. Supercharge your online presence with TitanOnline.com. Bruins lead it 1-0, and I just saw a replay of Tom Wilson launching a Bruin into their own bench. Ah, everything hits different in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well, especially Tom Wilson, because half of it's illegal, right? And it's
I mean, isn't that Tom Wilson all the time?
No, but
he's the one player who never changes his style of play.
But in the playoffs, it's not called even more so. But hey, legitimately, though, skill-wise, he made some damn good plays in that first game. Scores the goal, and that little play to just delay that offside, just to make sure that it doesn't happen before the winning goal, legit play from Tom Wilson. And the Capitals, they've answered.
That's it. 1-1 as the Capitals tie it up here on the power play in the first period. The goal horn brought to you by TitanOnline.com. Visit TitanOnline.com today for your free digital marketing evaluation.
And it looks like it might have been Alexander Ovechkin with the goal as well. He was trying to wind up for his one-timer, but it just kind of tossed it on net, and it goes in.
It's goal number 70, so he and Sidney Crosby are no longer on 69 goals apiece for their Stanley Cup playoff careers.
Not nice.
Hey, golfers, get great Vancouver golf for less. Visit VancouverDiscountGolfCard.ca for all the details and to order your Vancouver Discount Golf Card today. That is DiscountGolfCard.ca. It is the People's Show. Dan Riccio, Randeep Janda, Satyar Shah's got the day off. Coming up next, Don Taylor, Donnie from Donnie and Dolly, next on Sportsnet 650.